प्रयत्ति तदा हि भगवत उपासनो पचितार्ति पुरुष प्रभावस्तद अनाभिनंदन समाज वेना रत्तेन ज्योतिर्मयेन रजानिम अपि दिनं करिष्यामीति सप्तकृत वस्तरणं अनुपाय क्रामान् तृतीया इव पतंगः यावत् सो लॉन्ग अवभासयति illuminates Suragirim, the Sumeru hill, Anuparikraman, by circumambulating Bhagavan, the most powerful, Aditya, Sangha, Vasudhatalam, the lower planetary system, Ardhena, by half, Eva, certainly, Pratapati, makes dazzling, Ardhena, by half, Avachchadayati, covers with darkness, Tada, at that time, he certainly Bhagavat Upasana, by worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Upachitta, by satisfying him perfectly, Atipurusha, superhuman, Prabhava, influence, tat, that, anabinam, without appreciating, samajavena, by equally powerful, ratena, on a chariot, jyotimayena, dazzling, Rajanim, night, api, also, dinam, day, karishyami, I shall make it, iti, thus, saptakrit, seven times, vastaranim, exactly following the orbit of the sun. Anupayakramat, circumambulated. Tritiya, second. Eva, like. Patanga, sun. Translation, while so excellently ruling the universe, King Priyavrata once became dissatisfied with the circumambulation of the most powerful sun god. Encircling Sumeru Hill on his chariot, the sun god illuminates all the surrounding planetary systems. However, when the sun is on the northern side of the hill, the south receives less light, and when the sun is in the south, the north receives less. King Priyavrata disliked this situation and therefore decided to make daylight in the part of the universe where there was night. He followed the orbit of the sun god on a brilliant chariot and thus fulfilled his desire. He could perform such wonderful activities because of the power he had achieved by worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada's purport. There is a Bengali saying which describes that someone is so powerful that he can make the night day and the day night. That saying is current because of the prowess of Priyavrata. His activities demonstrate how powerful he became by worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Krishna is known as Yogeshvara, the master of all mystic powers. In Bhagavad Gita 18:78, it is said, wherever there is the master of all mystic powers, Yatra Yogeshvara Krishna, victory, fortune, and all other opulences are present. Devotional service is so powerful. When a devotee achieves what he wants to accomplish, it is not by his own mystic power, but by the grace of the master of mystic power. Lord Krishna, by his grace, by the master of mystic power, Lord Krishna, by his grace, a devotee can accomplish wonderful things unimaginable even to the most powerful scientist. From the description in this verse, it appears that the sun moves. According to modern astronomers, the sun is fixed in one place, surrounded by the solar system, but here we find that the sun is not stationary. It is rotating in a prescribed orbit. This fact is corroborated by Brahma Samhita 5:52. Yasagaya Brahmati Samvritta Kala Chakra. The sun is rotating in its fixed orbit in accordance with the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. According to Jyotir Veda, the science of astronomy in the Vedic literature, the sun moves for 6 months on the northern side of the Sumeru hill and for 6 months on the southern side. We have practical experience on this planet that when there is a summer in the north, there is winter in the south and vice versa. Modern materialistic scientists sometimes present themselves as knowing all the ingredients of the sun, yet they are unable to offer a second sun like Maharaj Priyavrata's. Although Maharaj Priyavrata devised a very powerful chariot as brilliant as the sun, he had no desire to compete with the sun, for a Vaishnava never wants to supersede another Vaishnava. His purpose was to give abundant benefits in material existence. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks that in the months of April and May, the rays of Maharaj Priyavrata's brilliant sun were as pleasing as the rays of the moon, and in October and November, both morning and evening, that sun provided more warmth than the sunshine. In short, Maharaj Priyavrata was extremely powerful, and his actions extended his power in all directions. Om again to Miranda Sagaranjana. Shalakaya Chakshu Nitamhina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. In the first part of this purport, Prabhupada is talking about becoming empowered. The devotee is empowered by Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita states that a person can't preach Krishna consciousness all over the world unless he's empowered. So Prabhupada was the obvious and clear example of a devotee who is empowered. Sometimes some of his god brothers, or they would sort of offer some criticism that, oh, he was successful in preaching in the Western world because he was a good businessman. And so he was able to, he was good at organizing things, and he was good at getting things done, and managing money and people and resources. So that's why he was successful to establish Krishna consciousness in this part of the world, outside of India. But that's not why Prabhupada was successful. Yeah, it's a fact. Prabhupada was very expert in business and organization and dealing with people, managing resources and time and money. That is a fact. But that's not why he was successful in spreading Krishna consciousness. And this Krishna consciousness can't, as some of Prabhupada's godbrothers had gone to England and Germany in the 30s and 40s, or 20s, 30s, and they had gone for some time, given some lectures and rich people, Indians mostly, preaching among the Indians. And they gave some lectures and after a while came back. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had to send a lot of money with them to maintain them in a decent style. And so they gave some lectures and then came back. And there were some statements like, oh, it's impossible. It can't be done. You can't spread Krishna consciousness outside of India. The people are too fallen, which is a fact. That's a fact. And Prabhupada remarked on that in the poem that he wrote, Markine Bhagavata Dharma, on the Jaladutta when he landed in Boston Harbor. He said, how are they going to understand the message of Lord Chaitanya? They're so much absorbed in the modes of passion and ignorance. It's just like when I was growing up, I remember people didn't know anything about India. But what we did know about India was that the people are starving, and they're starving because they won't eat the cows. So if they would just eat the cows who are wandering free on the streets, then they wouldn't be starving. That we knew. And we took as like established fact. And then we knew that, oh, there's the caste system and the people don't like the mleches or the untouchables, the untouchables. And we considered that to be a great, great fault. And of course it is. It is a misuse of Varnashram system to think that there's anyone who can't be reached by Krishna's mercy, and that anyone should be refused in admittance into spiritual society. That's a misuse of Varnashram Dharma. But the concept of Chandala or Mlecha is a concept that's there in the Bhagavad Gita, the Srimad Bhagavatam. Chandala means dog eater. Mlecha means some meat eater. So we knew the term growing up. We knew the term untouchable. So, but we didn't know, as we consider ourselves very, the American society is the pinnacle of advancement of human culture. This is as good as it's ever been. We're the top, and that's what that's the mentality, and the. But we didn't know that we'd be considered untouchables, we're lower than untouchables, because we're not only dog eaters, we're cow eaters, pig eaters, everything eaters. So we're considered untouchables. But the so Prabhupada wrote that poem. You know, it says, how are they going to understand that people are so fallen, so covered over by the modes of passion and ignorance, so it seems like it will be impossible. But he said, but if you want me to do it, then I'll do it. You must have some reason for bringing me here, speaking to Krishna, you must have some reason for bringing me here. So if you brought me here to dance, then make me dance, make me dance, make me dance as you like. So he tried, and at first he wasn't making much advancement, and he was going back down to the ships in New York Harbor and inquiring when they were going to leave, and he was thinking he was going to leave and go back to India because nothing much was happening. But he persevered, and then very quickly everything started to happen. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati disciples, they went to England and Europe, and they were supported from home, and they came back saying, oh, it's not possible. And even Prabhupada gives the example of the Lord Zetland, who said to one of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's disciples, he said, how can I become a Brahmin? And he replied, disciple replied, yeah, you can become a Brahmin too. First you have to give up intoxication, meat eating, illicit sex, and gambling. And Prabhupada reports that his response was, impossible. It can't be done. It's impossible. So that's generally how most people, even if they have some interest in Krishna consciousness, they are becoming brahminical, becoming a devotee. It's considered to be it can't be done. How can I do it? I give up everything that I love, everything that I'm accustomed to. How can I do that? But Prabhupada began preaching, and disciples did do that. They did do it. And when Prabhupada started to send devotees to other places, he sent Satsarup Maharaj here to Boston, and his disciples, Mukunda Maharaj and his godbrothers and sisters, they went to San Francisco. They weren't even sent by Prabhupada, they just went. And then some disciples started to go to Europe, and Prabhupada didn't send them with financial support. He didn't send them with money. He said they scraped together whatever they could scrape together, whatever few dollars they could gather, and they went to places. A devotee lived here when I moved here. His name was Shivananda, and he went to Germany in 1968. He was 18 years old, and he had been a devotee for like a year, and he asked Prabhupada if he could go to Europe and preach. And Prabhupada at first had told him not to. He thought he was like too young, too inexperienced. But then he asked again, and Prabhupada gave him permission. He said, go. And he had a little bit of money that he got from his mother or his grandmother. And he was 18 years old. He went to Germany by himself, and he started a temple there. He started preaching there. And it wasn't very big, but he went there. And it's like, that's not, who can do that? That's not an easy thing. And not only him and Satsarup Maharaj, but Prabhupada sent disciples all over the world. There's that example, that time where Prabhupada was traveling with some of his disciples through Delhi and on the train. And it was relatively early. It was like 1970 or something like that. And they stopped for a while in Delhi, and he told his husband and wife disciples, said, now you two should get off here and start a temple. And they weren't expecting it. It was completely out of the blue. But they got off the train, and they did their best to start something, and they did start something. And disciples went to Australia, China, Africa, South America. They went everywhere, not with support, but making their own way, making friends, attracting some appreciative people, getting some donations, starting something. And that's how Krishna consciousness spread all over the world. So Prabhupada was empowered by Lord Chaitanya, and because his disciples had faith in him as an empowered representative of Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, then they were able to go on their own and spread they were empowered to start something. And so this is empowerment. And we see examples of that everywhere, not examples of being empowered in Krishna consciousness, but people empowered. Like so many people can play the piano, and so many people are expert pianists or guitarists or whatever they are, a drummer or anything. But there's some few people who are so much, there are so many people who are expert at it, but above them, there are so few people who are so far above everyone else that it's like everyone is amazed. How do they do that? Or in anything, they're in a sport, or in any kind of discipline, in mathematics, or any kind of intellectual pursuit. There's some people who are so much better than everybody else that there's no explanation except they're just empowered. And we have that expression, if somebody's like born and they're playing like Beethoven and Tchaikovsky piano pieces when they're like 5 years old, or they're like a great athlete by the time they're 6 years old, then we commonly say that they're gifted. They're gifted. Gifted means there's a gift giver, and gift giver is Krishna. So any we may say, how could somebody make a chariot and rival the sun god? Or how could there be a Lord Brahma that creates a universe? Or how could this happen? How could that happen? How could he do this? How could she do that? I was reading the Krishna book the other day, and when Krishna went to kidnap Rukmini, had never met Krishna, but she heard about Krishna. And of course, she is an eternal associate of Krishna. She's a pure devotee. But for the sake of the pastime, in the Krishna book, Rukmini had never met Krishna, but she had heard about him, and she decided that she would not marry anyone else except Krishna. But the problem was that her brother Rukmi had arranged that she would marry Shishupal, who didn't like Krishna at all. And the marriage was to take place the next day, and so Rukmini sent a letter via Brahmana to Krishna, and she said, "You have to come tomorrow and save me and kidnap me, because I'm supposed to be married to Shishupal tomorrow, and you have to save me from that." So Krishna went. She's pure devotee, and his eternal consort, the goddess of fortune. And Krishna went and kidnapped her, saved her out of the clutches of Shishupal and Rukmi and the other princes. Rukmini came out of the temple, and all the princes and everything, and everybody was there. All the princes saw her, and she was so beautiful that the princes fell off their horses and elephants looking at her. And so that you see that sometimes a guy is driving down the street and he sees some beautiful girl on the street and he looks at her and he runs into a telephone pole. And so it's sort of like that. The princes, they all saw the Rukmini, and they fell off their elephants and horses and chariots. And so that's another kind of empowerment, of beauty. That she was so beautiful that they couldn't even stay on the horse. So there's all kinds of empowerment and all different kinds of talents and abilities that Krishna gives us. So most of us, we're just sort of ordinary. We try to be good devotees, and we try to cook something, but our cooking is tasty, it's nice, but it's not like Mother Damayanti's in Chaitanya Lila or Mother Sachi's or Radharani's cooking, where everything they cook is like, and nectar is so delicious that you, is unimaginable how good it was. And we try to do some preaching, we go on Harinam, but we're not like Vishnu John Swami or somebody that we can stay out for 8 or 10 hours a day with power and chanting day after day in the sun and the wind. We can go out, we can chant for a couple of hours, and we can do it. So most of us are like that. We're just ordinary, people just trying to do some, just trying to make a nice contribution to Prabhupada's movement. And that's good. That's what we're good. It may, in the future, who knows what could happen. We could be empowered to do anything in the future. But at the moment, we can do some little service, and it will be greatly appreciated by our spiritual master, by Prabhupada, by Krishna, and we'll go back home, back to Godhead. So I'll stop there. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Oh, no questions. Thank you for the class. It's very good.
Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.